Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Somebody please tell me she's cooking something. I think there's something brewing there because I saw recently there was an event and she looked all dolled up and it looked more like a recording or something. So somebody please tell me that there's something that Pastor Butle Taylor is releasing very soon. I'm really, really expecting some great material from her. Yahweh is the title of that song. Takes us to 23 minutes after 12 o'clock. A very good afternoon to you if you have just joined us. Remember, shortly from now, we'll be having in studio Dr. Julius Mengotumbu with the word and prayer. I think you guys must try and join forces with me, and we must convince Dr. Julius to literally spend the entire hour with us, because when he leaves, we still want so much from him. And I think oftentimes he also feels like, oh, time has really flown by so quickly. So I think we must really remedy that. I know he's a very busy man, but hey, what can an extra 20 minutes do?
Where hope and faith thrive. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
At Radio Pulpit, we are dedicated to delivering content that inspires and uplifts, guided by faith and truth. Our commitment is to provide quality programming for our community. We are here to serve with content that speaks to the heart, sharing messages of hope and love every day. If you believe we haven't followed the Broadcasting Code, you can contact the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Visit www.bccsa.co.za or call 011-326-3130 for more information. Thank you for listening to Radio Pulpit, your trusted voice in faith and community.
You're at 657 AM. Radio with the truth in its voice.
Funda okuningi, uphile saka, futhi ukhule othandweni. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. Umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
Be blessed by Yolanda Adams. Unfortunately, gotta cut that one because time is not on our side. I've just put Dr. J on the spot before he came in case you didn't hear this one. And I said to the listeners, how about we gang up on you, have a conversation with you about you considering actually coming in much earlier, because oftentimes, Dr. Jen, you are even my witness on this. By the time, I've got to get this out of the way. By the time you are done here, it almost feels like you still need more time. So I'm advocating for Dr. J coming in earlier. Not half past. No. 10 past.
Okay. Well, see,
but also I do understand. You get so busy. That's why I always say, I still can't understand how he juggles everything. But here he is. How are you doing, Dr. J?
I'm doing good. Look, I'm doing good. You know, again, bless Heritage Day.
Oh, wow. Yesterday was Heritage Day.
Yeah,
true.
Yesterday was Heritage Day, and I think we often call it a Braai Day. And
yes,
lots of people have found braaiing, but it's a day also just to celebrate our heritage in Christ, while we celebrate our diversity in our Africanness. You know, we also celebrate our diversity in terms of people
you
coming from.
You should have come with your African. Do you have your regalia, your cultural regalia?
Yeah, definitely.
Please, one of these days, I don't know how it looks like. Now that you mention it, one of these days we'll have a challenge. Both of us will come dressed in our cultural regalia.
Definitely, I'll do that. And I think we celebrate the goodness of God in the very richness of our cultures.
Mm.
But again, those very values that are in line with Scripture, those values that again promote human dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I believe that in Christ we have such richness, you know, of diversity.
True.
I just was sharing with somebody last week that we have about 22 nationalities.
Mm-hmm.
In my church, in Hope Baptist Church. Sometimes we find them from the A to the Z, the Angola to Zimbabwe.
Oh, wow. A to the Z, I've never thought of that.
Passing through South Africa. And I think that's what heaven would look like, you know, in the light of Revelation 7, where all tongues, all cultures, all languages, nationalities coming together under the banner of Christ to be able to celebrate Him alone, Christ alone, and to Him we give glory. But God gives us an aftertaste of heaven while we are here on earth. health that we might be able to meet in that sort of gathering where people can come together and not based on any other value, but are very focused on Christ and be able to celebrate our oneness in Christ. I think that's a very rich, you know, heritage that we also have. That because of Christ, I can meet you.
Listen. Otherwise, where else would we have ever met, actually? You know,
because
that's
of,
so true.
Because of Christ, I've met a couple of people, many people. But that, again, with the intention of really impacting and influencing generations. Because a heritage has a mandate. And that mandate is to make sure that we share the good news of Jesus Christ with many people who don't know that in Christ alone we have our fulfillment, satisfaction. In Him we live, we move, and we have
our being.
And I think that's what makes it, again, a very wonderful and commemorative day. And I want to thank God because I've been to African countries, but I think many don't celebrate this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think it's so akin and unique to South Africa. But again, it blends so much within our Christian values to make sure that we can pause and just look at the people around you.
By the way, which African country have you not been in to? Now that I think about it.
I think a lot of Northern Africa.
Okay.
I've been to Central Africa, definitely West, East, and we currently in the southern part. But my dream is to reach out to the northern part of Africa.
Okay.
So we're covering Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, Egypt, Mauritania, most of those countries are finding themselves within what we call the 1040 windows at the countries that we've been praying for. You know, as a team from Campus Crusade, we've been praying that we should be able to reach most of those within the 1040 windows corridor. And yeah, it's my prayer that one day God will grant me the grace to be able to access most of these countries, to be able to preach the gospel to most of them. And I'm believing God that talking of diversity and the richness that we have, God laid upon my heart to share today on the beauty of the Word of God in the midst of all what we're going through. You know, I'll be sharing today on the subject, the mirror.
The mirror. Okay.
I'll be sharing on the subject, the mirror. And the Word of God comes in as a mirror. If you have your Bibles, you just could open to James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. And it says, don't just listen to the word. Don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it. Which in other translations says, be doers of the word and not hearers.
That's my
only
favorite one.
deceiving yourselves. I'll tell you why I'm reading this translation. So always, okay, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let his word become like poetry. I love it. Written and fulfilled by your life. If you listen to the word and don't leave out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning.
Okay.
Yet perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word. But then you go out and
you
forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply in the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth. They hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessings in all that they do. Let me read again from the ESV. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The mirror. The mirror is quite a metaphor that we can use to reflect a lot of things around our lives. Four realities about a mirror, Loco. The first is a mirror gives you a factual representation of yourself. A lot of us, before we came into studio, before you got to your job site this day, you had to pass by a mirror. A mirror gets quite strategic, that mirrors had to be put in our vehicles even.
Of course.
Those mirrors in the vehicles were really meant for the vehicles. In fact, for blind spots. But some of us use it to check some blind spots around our faces and just to make sure that we don't miss out on the very completion of our makeups. And so the mirror comes to reflect, you know, a factual representation of yourself. But a mirror also affords you the opportunity to correct self-appearance. Is that true?
Yep.
It affords you the opportunity to correct self-appearance. Most of the times, you have to gaze at a mirror just to make sure that
everything is intact.
Everything is intact from head to toe. You definitely could see from head to toe. But it gives you and affords you that self-correcting ability to take place. Number three, reality about a mirror. A mirror is a place of self and deep reflection. Some people don't go to the mirror just to look at themselves, but they go to the mirror just to look eyeball to eyeball, just to check, you know, with a deep sense of what's happening with me.
True.
Am I there? And I'm talking to somebody. You just might have gone through that experience this morning. You would have looked at yourself in the mirror
and thought, How did we get here? I get those moments. I can admit, I get those moments.
A little bit of a deep reflection of yourself and introspection and a little bit of thinking of, you know, the journey that you've been into. And sometimes really a highlight of some positives and negatives that come alongside your reflecting time or reflection time around the mirror. The fourth reality about a mirror cannot reveal everything about you. Oh, yes.
True.
Mirror cannot reveal.
There are parts it cannot show.
Everything about your life. The mirror has a propensity to highlight externality. And that's what makes, again, the Word of God quite unique as a mirror. Because the truth about it, you know, Loco, is that the Word of God is a mirror, but it's a mirror that reflects the outside and inside.
And the inside.
And sometimes it reflects the outside from the inside.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It reflects the very intent of the heart, the very things that bother you, the very things that plague you. The Word of God has the power, the propensity, the ability, the potency to be able to dissect, you know. That's why it's sharper than any double-edged sword, you know, because it gets deep down into your spirit, it digs deep down there and be able to dissect and gives you a dichotomy of whatever is happening in the inside of you. And that's why I've come to share with you the mirror. The mirror is very crucial because psychologists believe that how often an individual looks into a mirror in a day tells on the personality of such
true,
a person.
True.
And that personality ranges from insecurity to inferiority, superiority complexes, confidence, depression, eloquence.
Over-infatuation of
oneself. And so a mirror gives you a very deep reflection of yourself. Those in their 20s, get this, those in their 20s are the most image conscious, with men and women aged 27 topping the league.
Yeah.
By checking their appearances, can you guess? Those 27 men and women of age, they check their appearances 52 times a day.
A day.
52 times.
Sure.
So they'll check their appearances 52 times a day. People in their 60s clearly have better things to do. You know?
I can imagine.
They look in the mirror just 5 times a day on average.
That's still a lot for me, by the way.
Is it?
Still a lot for me, yeah.
They look at a mirror.
If I don't stop by at a bathroom, chances are I won't check myself.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
wow.
That's what I'm saying. At work, I'll probably go in once. Mm. And the last time I saw myself was in the morning when I was combing my hair.
Oh, wow.
So, I'm like, I feel like I'm in my 60s already. But I probably do it less than 10 times a day.
Oh, wow.
Promise you.
So people have used different formats, you know, to assist them in terms of mirror. We have a conventional mirror, definitely, mm-hmm. which you can look at yourself through. It's a very normal one, conventional. But this time, do you know people use their cell phone?
I was about to say, and you think a person is taking a selfie. That time,
people use selfies.
Now I agree with that 50 times.
As a last resort. And when we're talking about 50, it doesn't mean the conventional mirror. It means,
of course.
That's why I'm giving you a little bit of categorization. I'm giving you a little bit of categorization of mirrors.
In case someone was like, you're exaggerating.
Yeah, that people use now or are utilizing to be able to get themselves in that mood. So you have a conventional mirror, which definitely most people have, either small in their bags. You know, mirrors
in the car.
Mirrors have become so small that you can have them in your bags. And the beauty industry, cosmetic industry, they've made it such a way that they've packaged it, you know, within your makeup.
Yep.
So that definitely.
Pocket mirror that's always with the lady.
Pocket mirror. If you go to shopping malls, one of the very philosophy and psychologies, you might get this insight local. One of them, when you get into a shop, mirrors are meant to give you an expansion of a shop.
Mm.
And if you put mirrors around your house, it creates a big space within the house. Yeah, just
is that why people like mirrors?
That's what happens if you have a mirror around your house. And so if you go to most of the clothing shops, they'll always provide a mirror.
Yes.
Because you definitely have to check yourself.
Those ones. When I go to clothing shopping, then I walk past, I look at myself.
And the psychology behind those clothing shops is that they want to persuade you. And definitely, you have to take a decision immediately. And so the mirror is one of the purchasing tools that they use to convince you to be able to make an immediate decision.
Interesting.
In purchasing that item. And some of us fall victims to it. As often as possible.
I like it when you say some of us.
Should be. When I was taught preaching, I was told, hardly use the word you. You must always be within the bracket. Because if you use the word you're excluding yourself. And
true.
As much as possible, I'm just sharing with pastors who are preaching. I think it makes more sense when you say, look, we've all seen than you have seen.
Okay.
And you have. Okay, that's just a 101.
So lesson 101, definitely.
Apart from the conventional mirrors that we have, the selfie mirrors that we have on our cell phones that we have converted to become mirrors on our cell phones, I have another categorization I call human mirrors.
Okay.
And the human mirrors are the people who can give you a reflection of yourself. Husband, wife, you're about leaving for church in the morning.
How do I look?
How do I look? You get an assessment from a third party on your outfit, your outlook, and everything. You might get it from the very proxy of your space, husband, wife, kids, but you can get it from third parties, even friends. Sometimes we even dress to have an expectation of admiration in church.
Yep. Oh. Yep. True.
Come on.
True.
So sometimes when you head there and you definitely might have people appreciate your outfit and whatever. Please don't get it wrong. It's part of the very system and mechanism that God has put around us for people to be able to give us a fair opinion of ourselves. And that makes it wonderful and beautiful. The mirror. So you have human mirrors. Human mirrors come. But again, all of these mirrors fail the test of an introspection.
Okay.
Those mirrors are all...
Do not get you to introspect.
They don't get the inside of you. All of what we have as outside, from the selfie, the conventional mirrors, and whatever you have outside there does not give you. Even human mirrors will hardly tell you what is happening in the inside.
True. They can only stop as far as the exterior.
They can only scan your externality, and they'll see your face, and sometimes they'll tell you, "Oh, sister, you look so pretty this morning. Your smile, and definitely you look pretty.
Exactly,
you look pretty. Your smile is good, but
then they miss what's going on.
They miss what is going on in the inside of you.
Sure, interesting.
They miss what is going on in the inside of you, and your true reflection sometimes is not what is outside. By talking to somebody, your true reflection sometimes is what is in the inside of you. So like every good Baptist preacher, let me give you three P's that will help you in the light of the passage that we've read now to look at the Word of God as a reflection, you know, as a mirror. So what are the three main qualities of the Word of God as a mirror? What are the three main qualities highlighted here, you know, from the book of James that can help us to be able to go through this? If we don't finish, then next week we might give you another opportunity to continue. So the first is that when you go through the Word of God and the power and the potency of the Word of God, number one, get this very well. Verse 25 says, those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law. So number one, write this down. The Word of God as a mirror acts as a perfecting mirror. So number one, it's a perfect mirror, but you might want to have it in continuous tense. It's a perfecting mirror. So you are not yet perfect, but the Word of God has the propensity.
Yeah, being perfected.
Oh, come on, somebody come preaching on. With me. Mm. So that's one thing which happens with the Word of God. The Word of God starts working from the inside of you as a mirror. It starts working from the inside of you. So it has the propensity to perfecting your life, improving your life. And perfection goes with what you perceive, you know. It goes with perception as well, what you perceive. Lots of people see themselves not worthy enough.
Yeah.
But if you gaze into the Word of God, you'll get this. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, the righteous is as bold as a lion.
Mm.
So in moments where you feel tired, you feel intimidated, timid, or even frightened by the very situations that surround you, and fear seem to loom around and lurk around and takes hold of you, you must understand that you are within, and you're born within the tribe of the Lion of Judah. And so the righteous is as bold as a lion. And that's what the Word of God comes to do. It brings the best, you know, out of you in that very situation where you don't find the best inside of you. But the Word of God brings the best from you. And I want to believe that also. You know, Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say,
I'm strong.
And that's what happens. Even moments when you feel so weak, the Word of God comes again to encourage you. To declare strength in your life. And I'm talking to somebody who's going through a very difficult time and you're about giving up on life because of doctor's reports around your life. The Word of God comes to say He sent His Word and His Word healed them.
Come on.
And the Bible says, by His stripes you are healed.
Mm.
And He says, upon their sick bed, I'll restore them unto health.
Amen.
And the Word of God is so rich in quality that when you imbibe it, absorb it, you're inspired by it, transformation starts taking place in your life. You don't see your imperfection. You start seeing God bringing a much more clearer, Christ-like person when the Word of God has room in your life. So the Word of God as a mirror begins to improve your life. begins to perfect your life. You are not yet perfect. We are still in the process of sanctification. Mm-hmm. But the more you read the word, the more you study the word, the more you memorize the word, the more you meditate the word. But take note of this. James does not only leave it to these four categories. The most important thing is those who do the word. Mm. And if you start doing the word, you start seeing the word of God perfecting your life.
Yeah.
Perfecting your life in terms of decisions, perfecting your life in terms of commitments that you're making. The word of God has a power to perfect your life. And it's a process. It's a process. It's not an event. Yep. It's a process. So the more you read it, the more you become like Christ. And that's a qualification of what we call Christ-likeness.
It just reminded me, somebody said, we're called human beings because we are daily becoming.
We are daily becoming. Mm. You know, and I believe the most important qualification, again, we are daily becoming like Christ if we stick to the word of God, if we lean on the word of God. Listen to this. Number one, I'm sure we'll share next week on the third point. But the first point was how does the word of God as a mirror transform your life? And we're just getting it from the scripture we've read. The word of God perfects your life if you have a gaze on the perfect word of God.
Amen.
But number two, the word of God purifies your life. So it acts as a perfecting mirror, but number two, as a purifying mirror or a pure mirror.
Okay.
So there's a tendency of not only perfection or perfecting your life, I want to say, but also
purifying
your
Come
life.
On.
If you read verse 25, the B part says, as fascinated by and respond to the truth, they hear. So you respond to the truth. The more you respond to the truth of the word of God, the more it removes the very inadequacies of your life. It starts deleting, it starts removing the very thing that don't make you conform to very Christ-likeness that the Spirit of God wants to forge in you. And so when you are fascinated by it, when you respond to the truth that you hear and you are strengthened by it, there is a process of not only perfecting your life, but also purifying your life. Thank you. And the purification there is preserving your life from the very things that will trigger guilt inside of you, because the Bible says then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. John 8:32. But listen to this again. John 15:3 says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you.
Amen.
So the word of God has the propensity to clean you, to purify you. But I love Ephesians 5:4 for husbands. Listen to this. If you're a husband, please listen to this carefully. Ephesians 5:25-26 says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word.
Come on.
By the cleansing of God's word. So if ever you want to get your wife in Christ-likeness, husband, the secret is expose her to the word of God.
Come on.
Don't expose her to your insults. Don't expose her to so much of your wisdom, because sometimes we use so much intellect than even scripture.
True.
And you have to encourage her, appreciate her, by the very tenets of the word of God. And the word of God, though it is meant to encourage, but it also rebukes us. And it channels us into a phase of purification. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. If a young man wants to keep his life pure, it's by the word of God.
Exactly.
It's by the word of God. Mm. So purification comes by the word of God. The more the word is in you, the less the world will be in you.
Amen.
The more the
word of God is
in you, the less the world will be in you. I'm talking to a young man now who is struggling maybe with pornography. The more the word of God is inside of you,
The less of the world
will be in the inside of you.
Before you pray, Dr. G, Limiji is asking for the scripture we started off with. know if he's got
James,
that.
James chapter 1 from verse 22 to 25. Let me pray with somebody. Next week, I'm going to give you the third point, the third P. I've just given you two now. The Word of God acts as a perfecting mirror, as a purifying mirror. You definitely want to hear the last one next week.
Most definitely.
Father, I pray for somebody who's struggling, but I pray that your Word will be at the center of their lives, that they study your Word, read your Word, meditate, memorize, but practice your Word, that your Word will start perfecting their lives, purifying their lives, to conform them to the very image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless your people as we get deeper into the Word of God these days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless. God bless.
Fumana inkuthazo imihla yonke. Sikhona ku Facebook. Ngena ube ngumhlobo nawe. I Radio Pulpit Facebook. Yeyoluntu lonke.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.